This is gross.
Oh, this is gross.
Oh, it's so gross.
Oh my God, that's gross.
Like, this is totally gross.
No, no. This is Jordan Gross.
Oh, Jordan Gross.
Oh, bless his heart. Jordan's not gross.
This is gross.
All right, Christmas is over, and I am back on the air. Sorry that I chose my family over the show, all you listeners. I do apologize, but we won in Atlanta, and we got a bye, so of course I'm back. And who better than the star of the Saints' Week 16 victory, Dominic Hixon, who has been an outstanding addition to our team and our locker room, and the hygiene of the team as well, which you will hear about during this episode. But I do my same little intro, but there's a special one for Dominic, and you should enjoy it. So here we go. Episode 32, This is Gross, with Dominic Hixon.
Segundo y gol, segundo y diez. Balón a la altura de la yarda número 14. El campo se hace pequeño. Le mandan del disparo acá. Se va a deshacer.
I don't think there's a better intro for a person on my show ever in the history of any podcast ever created. What do you think?
That's what I'm talking about. He was super excited, I about to say. I thought I was the most excited guy on the field, but
no,
you know, maybe not.
I think he said 20 touchdowns.
Yeah, I about to say I counted 19.
So I thought it was 19, but then somebody told me it was 20. I don't even know Spanish, and I was fired up for that play to happen. If I hadn't even been there, if I hadn't tackled you in the end zone, which is funny because I came over because Mike Tolbert grabbed you, and then I tackled, and then I was like, wait a minute, is this a penalty? Because we went to the ground. So
then
you'll notice, I'm trying to help you up and take back the fact that I tackled you. But I had a perfect vantage point because it was like a pass to the left side, and I saw the throw, and I was like, Hixon, and then because you were the eye black, and your eyes were like all huge, and you were focused in. I was like, "Oh, he's got it!" And then scooped it up, man. It was awesome.
I was like, "Great times, man. Great memories, and you know, just awesome times."
So,
man.
Your role on the team is like kind of jack of all trades, a little bit.
Yeah,
special teams, receiver, blocking, catching.
Yeah,
but you never know when that big one's coming up, man.
And you're right. You know, that's one thing, you know, just, you know, you always say you're one play away. And then, you know, all of a sudden, it comes into play. And, yeah, and I still, you know, I used to return punts and kicks, too, and, you know, do all that. But, you know, whatever team needs.
I just think it's so cool that that's, like, perfectly symbolic of our team this year. That, like, after you caught that, everybody is like, you got to get Hixon on This is Gross. You got to get him on there. Before that, they were like, they kind of knew who you were, but our team this year is just everybody's made big plays, man. And
for
like,
sure.
Like last game against the Falcons, Melvin White has a pick six against Matt Ryan. Like, that's the play we needed. Everything was flat before that. You win the game for us in there. It's special, man.
Yeah, it is, man. I'm about to say special season, and you know, we're not done yet. That's the exciting part.
So you're the expert on that. You're the expert on the teams getting hot at the end of the year and making a run. So you got drafted by the Broncos,
right?
Which I didn't know until I Wikipedia'd you before we did this. I had to do a little bit of research. So you get the Broncos, then you go to the Giants. Boom, two Super Bowls.
Right.
That's easy.
Yeah, I wish. I mean, it's a lot of history. You know, even when I got released from Denver.
Yeah.
Four games into my second season, and you know, it was one of those deals. You know, what happens next? And I was fortunate to go to the Giants team and with Coach Coughlin and the guys, and what a great experience, you know, up there.
Did they sign you right after you got cut?
Yeah, it was that 24-hour kind of window where they teams bid on you. And
there
so
you
I
go.
Guess the team with the worst record.
Hey, we got Dominic Hixon.
Yeah, so my agent calls me up, was like, hey, you know, you're headed to New York. So I go to the airport in Denver.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, Dominic Hixon, you know, going to New York. And the guy was like, you're going to New Jersey. I'm like, no, New York. And he's like, New Jersey. I'm like, no, New York Giants. He was like, you do realize they play in Jersey.
You're like, no.
And I was like, oh, gosh, you know, here we go.
That's like when I got drafted by the Panthers. My wife and I, we both are from Idaho. They went to school at Utah. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, you're moving to Carolina. I'm like, all right, cool, map. Where is this? Okay, it's way over there. I mean, I knew where North Carolina was. But I'm like, so we're flying in, and I'm looking all around. And I just thought we were going to Carolina, you know. And
right.
Like, oh, no, it's in Charlotte. That's the beauty thing about our job, though, man. At the drop of a hat, you're somewhere new. And it's great and it's terrible, but
yeah,
it ended up good for you.
Yeah, it did. It did.
Now, one thing that gets overshadowed, because we have Mr. Thomas Davis, who's like the ACL Iron Man, because he did three.
Right.
You only did two ACLs
right.
in a row. So, I mean, that's no big deal.
You know.
Back-to-back ACL tears. Psh. Anybody, we got a guy that did three here, so
right.
just get over yourself.
And, I mean, he actually talked to him. It was a year we played Carolina in the preseason.
Yeah.
And me and him were talking, and he was, you know, coming off his, I think it was his third.
Yeah.
And just great conversation, and, you know, knew he was a great guy, and, you know, had a lot of good things to say, you know, a lot of suggestions about coming back from ACL.
I thought he should have retired. I'll just say it right now. He even asked me. I was like, dude, you should quit. This is ridiculous. Three times.
Yeah.
But he's stubborn. And I don't think there's a lot of organizations, and I don't have any reason to say this other than I really believe it, that would stick with the guy
three
in a row.
Absolutely.
It's so cutthroat, this business. But, man, he's come back and done awesome. But so your knees, you walk with like a little bit of a –
No.
Yeah,
no.
You do. Is it from your – you got like a little shuffle going when you walk. Yeah, you do.
That's always been me.
Is it before your
always
knees?
Always walk funny, yeah. That's
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a slow shuffle. Like you don't really lift your feet up too high when you walk.
Probably like one of the first days of OTAs, Cam pointed that out to me.
Did he really?
Yeah,
what did he say?
In the huddle. He was like, why do you stand like that?
I thought it was because of your knees. You're like, you don't straighten your legs
well,
out.
Well, neither one straight, though. That's
kind of, what are you going to look like when you're old?
That's a good question.
It'll slowly, like.
I'll probably have a little scooter or something
down.
When you walk around.
People say I walk with a limp. Have you ever noticed that?
No, not really.
Is it because of A, I think I'm a gangsta, or two, because my right leg's almost an inch shorter than my left?
I'm going to have to go with gangster on that.
No, it's wrong. Well, I do think I'm a gangsta, but my right leg is almost an inch shorter than my left.
I didn't know that.
I have to wear like a heel lift, like a weirdo in my right. Yeah, yeah.
Huh.
It's structural, too. It's my my femur. And every time I ever see a chiropractor, they're like, I can fix that. I'm like, no, you can't. My bone is, I don't know why, it's shorter. So I can, you know, when I see the weird walks. I know.
So you notice
know
that about
so.
People, huh?
Yeah. One time we were getting on the plane. We were getting ready to load up.
Uh-huh.
And you know me well enough now. I never just stand there and mind my own business. I always think, try to mess with somebody or create some conflict or humor or whatever. And I was looking you over, and I was like, all right, he walks funny. I shouldn't say that. But what else? And then you had a fly fishing saltwater fishing magazine.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, hey, an actual conversation. Big fisherman.
There we go.
So what's your top – I like to fish as well. I grew up freshwater fishing, obviously, out west. But now, man, I hit the Keys, go down there. I've been permit
fishing. Yeah.
Caught some snapper with the kids. The dolphin, which is mahi-mahi. But if you're cool, you say dolphin.
Yeah.
What else we caught? Some barracuda.
Mm-hmm.
Never caught a marlin down there. Caught one in Mexico one time. But what's your go-to? Like, if you got a perfect day, let me hear your go-to ocean adventure.
Go-to ocean adventure – you know, we'll probably get up, you know, about 3 in the morning, had a bait ready, going head on out.
Who's actually, we? You said we.
Yeah, we. My uncle, he goes with me
there
a
go.
Lot. He lives down probably about 20 minutes away from me in Florida.
Okay.
So he comes, and me, him, and his buddy, Mr. Ken, will head out, and, you know, hopefully the bait's already ready.
So you don't have a bait guy?
No, you know, there's a bait boat that's out there.
And
but,
you buy from them, like the live stuff?
Yeah, but it's one of those deals where we'll go ahead and catch some manhaden in the morning.
Yeah.
Get the cast net. And
okay.
You want to see some entertainment.
Yeah.
Me throwing the net
you're
is
not
entertainment.
Good?
Hit and
they
miss.
Get like they're weighted on the edges, right?
They are.
So you throw it out there, and then you pull
the
rope, and it sucks it all in.
Right.
We've done that for, like, what's it called, Ballyhoo.
Yeah, Ballyhoo.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like a little mini marlin.
Yeah.
Right?
How about saying, so we'll do it for manhaden, and then we'll head out and – shoot, it's an all-day adventure, and we'll do overnight trips.
Yeah?
I mean, you name it, yeah.
You go out in, like, the deep stuff?
And that's one thing I like about Pensacola is that, you know, you got your first wreck is, you know, less than a mile offshore. And so, I mean, you could just go and hit the different wrecks. You can go to the Blue Water.
Yeah.
You can head over to Louisiana over that way to the oil rigs.
Okay.
I mean, it's prime time fishing. I'm about to say, and amberjacks
yeah.
in the spring are, you know, they're probably fun.
The oil rigs are good structure for the fish, huh?
For sure. Yeah. They got,
is that kind of weird fishing right by an oil rig? Like there's major oil exploration going on and you're trying to leisurely catch some.
Yeah,
some dinner?
I mean, it's one of those deals where, you know, as long as you don't bump into it, you'll be all right.
Or there's not, like, a fire.
Yeah, a fire or something happening. I'm about to say just pay a little attention. But
Now, are you good enough to, like, you could do everything on your own, or is, like, your uncle, like, the captain?
Well, you know,
like,
he's
the first mate.
He's
the
taught
skipper.
Me a lot. He says I'm the captain just in case something happens
is
to the
is it your boat or his boat?
It's my boat.
Oh, okay. So
yeah,
you're the
yeah.
captain.
So
what kind of boat you got?
Right now, it's 2570 Pursuit center console.
Oh, man.
But I'm trying to upgrade.
What do you got? One, you got two engines on
twin
it?
Twin engine, 150s.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Not
nice
bad.
Fuel economy. I would love.
Fuel economy.
I would love to have a 33 Pursuit.
Yeah.
You know,
are you
like
rigged
that,
up with like the radar and the night, like the flare? Is that what it's called? The night vision?
Don't have the night
infrared,
vision, but we definitely
like,
run radar.
Do you have a handle on your like? What's your like? Here we go. DH-87.
We
off
got,
the coast of Pensacola, heading Louisiana waters.
We got the boat's called Match Made.
Why?
Me and my wife came up with that.
Oh,
and just the fact that we're
so
Match
cool.
Made, she loves the fish, and so.
Match Made.
Match Made. Yeah.
I got a boat here on Lake Wylie that's this, like a wakeboard boat called it the Wind Monday.
Okay.
So that's when I get to use it on Wind Mondays.
On Wind Mondays, that makes sense.
But it's not as romantic as you. Thanks a lot, jerk. So your wife likes it. Now, speaking of your wife,
uh-oh.
She's obviously the coolest member of the Hickson household.
True. Very true.
Would you
true.
Like to tell, would you please share the, if you can, the occupation of your missus?
Yes, she's a assistant U.S. attorney.
So you come in the locker room. And act the way that we all act, and then you go home, and your wife's an assistant U.S. attorney.
Right.
How does that even work, buddy? Because our mentality, we're like a bunch of 6 and 7 year olds around here. Your most famous thing here is not the catch against the Saints. It's that you keep track of guys that don't shower after practice, and you have a bullhorn announcing shower pills.
Yeah, that's.
And your wife's an attorney. U.S. attorney. What's she thinking, man? You must act way different when you're not here.
You know what? I pretty much had to propose to her before she changed her mind and
got
to know me.
I guess.
Yeah.
How do you ever win an argument?
I don't.
No chance.
I don't.
No chance.
That's probably, you know what, and we joke about it, but I have to watch the Judge Judy shows and all that to try to get some leverage on
it. Is that how it works when you're married to an attorney? Like, now I object that you're feeling upset that I haven't been paying enough attention to you.
I'll start to do that when I'm losing, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, that's
my go-to.
She'll
say, you're out of order. Object. I can't. My wife dominates all of our arguments and conversations, and she's just a regular, like, housewife with a college degree. Now, if she was an attorney, whew.
Yeah, it's interesting, too. Well, she was, so Erica, she was studying for her little Florida exam.
Just her little Florida
exam. You know, and that's what I call it. Right. You know, but she was putting in 8 hours a day and doing all this stuff. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to help you out.
Oh,
I'm going to sit down with
good
you.
Idea.
We're going to read the questions, you
very
know, for
helpful.
The bar. And I got about halfway through the paragraph. And all of a sudden, you know, something caught my eye in the corner of the window and, you know, start daydreaming. I'm like, yeah, this isn't for me. You know, it's just not for me.
That is awesome. I just can't. Okay, so you go. So you guys get home at the end of the day, and you're like,
mm-hmm.
"Oh man, I'm exhausted." And Erica's like, "Me too." And you'll say, "Man, I had to run so many routes today, and 7-on-7, and it was brutal." And then she just says, "I'm a U.S. assistant attorney," and then you just have to be quiet, right? That's like one day. I have a buddy who works at a major banking place, and he's like in the tall buildings uptown. And he came over for dinner, and he's like, how's your day? I said, man, it's tough. We were in full pads, and you know, I'm all beat up and sore. Man, it was brutal. How was your day? I let this intern handle an important mortgage project, and he lost us $10 million. So I was like, well, I guess I could handle Greg Hardy and pass rush because, yeah, it's not too critical to the success of the U.S. economy. Wow. Well, good for you, man. You must be a smart guy. Well, how do you have, when you have to go into her? Okay, so she can probably come into your world easily, right? Like,
yeah.
I can hang out with the guys, yeah. You know, we can go fishing on the matchmaker or whatever. The matchmaid. The matchmaker. The reason I said that is because I was on a lake with Hangartner one time, and this guy came through on this small lake in like a huge cigarette like speedboat,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And it was called the Deal Maker and had flames on it. So, sorry I said that. But what happens when you have to go to like a business function of hers? That's got to be like, because before you had a mohawk and like the long goatee, and the walk, with the shuffling.
The walk.
Well, how do you act?
You know what? Just, you know, the same guy, but everybody wants to talk about football, so it's easy.
Yeah.
You know, and so they ask, you know, all the football questions, you know, what do you really do during the day? And they think, you know, we just practice from noon to two and go home.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, that's what everybody
cool,
says.
But, yeah, I mean, it's cool.
You got to be different, though, because there's no way you can come into the locker room and be like, Steve's like, what up, Hickson? And, you know, and you're like doing, what's up, Steve? And then you go, hello, Dominic. My name is Assistant Vice President to the Attorney, Ralph Fredrickson. How are you? You got to act different.
We went to we were in Louisiana. They had this, you know, court case deal going on, just, you know, kind of a big deal. And all the attorneys got together. And this is when, you know, I had the mohawk, the long goatee, and I had to get dressed up. And I remember I picked out an outfit, and my wife was like, that's what you're wearing?
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, yeah, what's wrong with it? She was like, you know, it's a little more formal. And so I had to change up a little bit.
Well, you weren't wearing the right clothes. What were you wearing?
I was wearing a nice button-down shirt.
Yeah?
Jeans and some Jordans.
Oh, gosh. What
and
you
I
thinking?
Was like, what's wrong with that? I mean,
that's
nice,
terrible.
You know, a casual dinner with everybody.
How old were you?
This happened about 6 months ago.
That's brutal. Well, Jordans?
Mean, just, yeah.
You're
classic shoe.
Yeah,
and then
to
the
you and to this world we live in, but not to attorneys.
But then all of a sudden we go to the dinner, and what does the guy have
well,
on?
Well, where was it at?
I don't know, some restaurant. I don't
Is
know.
It a restaurant?
Yeah, okay. but I go to the dinner, and what do one of the attorneys have on?
No.
Button down, jeans.
No.
You guessed it, Jordans. And then he
so
probably,
you would have loved it. He would have loved it.
He probably looked at me and was like, what a square.
His wife must
you know,
have
I mean, how, yeah, this guy plays in
Well,
NFL
she is an attorney, so he's going to win that argument.
Yeah, that's
My wife says, I only have two styles, okay? Super grungy, like I am right now, or old man fancy.
What's old man fancy?
Like she says, all my nicer clothes just make me look like an old man. Like I don't have any trendy, cool, like let's say we're going out to a dinner uptown, and I don't want to wear, like, a polo.
Right.
I don't have anything between, like, a polo or, like, just your typical suit. Like,
right.
No, you know, like, cool guys have, like, maybe,
that
like, a
between.
Button-down shirt, like, a leather jacket,
yeah,
or, like,
yeah.
some dark jeans, like, some boot. My size, I'm a weird size. That's the problem. Because I'm not, like, massively huge, but I can't wear, like, the skinnier stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she always tells me that I need to redo my wardrobe, but I'm holding out to when someday I lose weight, then I can get the cool stuff.
Yeah.
But I would never wear Jordans to a lawyer dinner.
Really?
Well, I wouldn't wear Jordans anyways. It looks kind of weird on me.
No, not at all.
Some Jordans
wouldn't
look weird
on me. Jordans
fit
on everyone. That's
on
I mean,
everyone.
Such a classic shoe.
I'm 33, and I'm fully white guy, and I would never have – I just think that I'd look weird with Jordans, wouldn't I?
No, not at all. Have you ever tried them?
What? Yeah, when I was a kid, I thought they were sweet.
You don't want to relive those
After
memories?
Space Jam, I was all about the Jordans.
Yeah, that the patent leather, yeah.
Well, maybe. Hey, so you told me that you're a motorcycle guy.
Yes.
Which sparked my interest, because I, too, am a motorcycle guy.
Okay.
But you said you're a crotch rocket guy.
But now?
Younger, when you were growing up.
Younger, and Harley Street Glide.
Okay, now we're talking.
I bought my dad one last year
really?
For a Christmas gift, and so I'm kind of upset at myself because being that younger and doing the crotch rocket, you know, all the fast stuff was, it was cool.
So you had like a ninja or like a Hirachi or something like that?
Oh, we had, I had a Gixxer 1000.
Wait, Suzuki. A Hirachi was a shoe.
Yeah.
Hayabusa.
Hayabusa.
Hayabusa, that's what I meant to say. Sorry.
And CBR 1000, yeah. Honda, and yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. And you said you'd drag race them, you'd stretch them back?
Oh, like, yeah, we'd stretch them out, drag race them, lower them.
Drive around at night with the lights on underneath?
Yeah, that. But, you know, I kind of got made fun of. That's not really, you know.
Who made fun of you?
One of my buddies, Brian Clark, we were rookies together in Denver.
Yeah?
And he was, I can't believe you put lights on your motorcycle.
That's not cool? I thought it was cool.
I thought it was, too, but clearly him and a lot of other people felt that it wasn't cool.
It's safer. People can see you coming.
Yeah, not right? too much. Not when you're, you know.
Well, the noise
speeding.
On those things. So I just bought my son. He's about to be 8, mm-hmm. and he had a 50.
Okay.
He had a PW50.
Yeah, yeah.
And he got too big for it. So for Christmas, he wanted a red Honda dirt bike.
That's awesome.
So I got him a 110, a CRF 110. And it fits him size-wise, but it's a lot more juice than he had before.
Yeah.
So Christmas Day, we give it to him, right? And I got his helmet that he already had and his chest protector. Gloves and some boots. I'm like, okay, now listen, this throttle, it's a lot more juice to it, so you gotta go nice and slow, man, nice and slow. And he's like, I know, I got it. So we like, all right, just drive to the end of the driveway and back. So he handles that, you know. So then we get out on the road and I'm like, all right, just go a little further back. Wah! Hits the throttle wide open, panics, heads into the ditch, wrecks. The throttle, this happened the first time I ever put him on the 50, too, when he was 3. So then he wrecks. He's laying upside down. My wife's dad's there. He comes over, like, panics to try to save the day, picks up the 110, guns the throttle when he's standing next to it. He takes off running, following the 110. He runs right by me. I grab him and save him, throw him, army roll into the street. Grandpa down, son down, dirt bike on its side.
Wow.
Pretty good
all
day.
In one day. I'm about to say that.
So then I said, all right, so now I got on it with him, and we're working on throttle control.
Yeah, throttle control, yeah.
So he's awesome. Properly geared yeah. up, but motorcycles are incredibly dangerous, but, man, if you got the bug.
Man, and that's what it is. It's something different. I've never met a friend or anybody who's got on a bike and be like, this isn't for me.
I know.
I mean, if you ride safe, you know, you do all the safety precautions.
Safety drag racing.
Well, yeah, I mean, as long as you do it in a controlled environment, you know, and
proper lighting.
Yeah, all that good stuff. And I bust. I actually got some video, not with me, but from way back when.
Yeah.
From us drag racing, me and nice. A couple of the guys and stuff.
Wow.
It's good times.
Well,
good
stay
time.
Safe. That's it, man. The show's over. That was 22 minutes.
That was awesome.
Of
man.
Conversation.
I appreciate you having
no,
me.
No, I appreciate
on,
you.
Man.
The fans wanted you, and I was late. I was going to do it last week, but it was Christmas.
Oh, okay.
So Christmas trumped the show, but we're back on now. Playoffs, bye week, and we're off. So appreciate it, buddy.
Oh, for sure, man. No problem.
And if I'd like to meet your wife sometime.
For sure, for sure.
She sounds like a pretty cool gal.
She is. She is. She's wonderful.
I'll ask some
her.
Questions for her, though.
Definitely. We'll do that.
All right. See you,
buddy. All right, George.
That wasn't so gross.
No, that was pretty gross.
I've heard grosser. Is it grosser or more gross?
That was gross.